Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this very crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's a woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so inverted, the original program should be removed and reinserted. A world that has lost so much of its glam, it has become a sham where humans are bought and sold by the gram. A world so chronically constipated, all the toilet paper has been donated. A world that should probably be flooded and repopulated by beings far less hot-blooded. And the feather in the cap, I think, will be the day we hang the traffickers from the nearest, tallest tree. Welcome back, martini heads. I raise my glass to you, my darling, and in this glass is a very fine beverage indeed, which I will talk about toward the end of the show. But for now, let me take a little sip of my drinky poo to see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, darlings. Hold on. Don't go away. Sipping is happening. Oh, the world could use a lot more of what's in my little glass right now. Hey guys, if you're joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. As warm as hot buttered toast, my darlings. Be advised, however, that this show is not politically correct so as not to erode the intellect. We don't do woke. We know the agenda behind the death poke. We think critical race theory is rubbish and DEI an exact inversion of what it claims to represent. In other words, we are aware and we are awake and we are very engaged in the game of life and how to play it. Martini heads, we come from all walks of life, but we share this in common. We are spirit-centered patriots who believe America has a sacred purpose, an important part to play in the upcoming new golden age of peace and prosperity. Spirit-centered is the term I like to use to describe martini heads, because we're right across the board. I mean, we have Catholics, we have Lutherans, Ethiopian and Armenian Apostolic, Greek, Russian and Serbian Orthodox, Reformed Jews, which surprises me actually, since most of you are screaming liberals and, well, martini heads tend to be a bit more conservative, libertarian or Republican, but, you know, welcome. We also have a great many Buddhists and a small group of Gnostic early Christian seekers, a couple of Druids, several Wiccans, a significant percentage of atheists, which makes me very, very happy. And I know at least one chap who says he is a Luciferian, but if asked to do bad and devilish things, he would probably decline. You know, spirit-centered is an interesting term. How could one possibly describe the allness? I mean, we all come from this thing we call source. We don't understand what it is. How could we? It's unfathomable. That's the mystery. Of course, it's not mysterious. It's just that we're not a level of awareness to be able to even understand or say the words, the vocabulary that could describe such an amazing concept as the allness. But we do know something about it. We know that if we are aligned in harmony with it, things go very well for us. And we know that if we feel misaligned with it, we're kind of out of sorts and we're having a half life. And honestly, that's good enough for me. I know I'm a cosmic space adventurer. I know I'm part of something is too big to describe. So I don't really have to personify it or give it some sort of mysterious supersonic backstory. I'm okay with just being photons floating around the place, having various experiences. But I digress, as I often do. What else do martini heads have in common? Well, you may be surprised. We do enjoy a well-mixed cocktail. Yes, we love having a drinky poo, but in moderation, of course, because we are grown-ups. And one other thing. We are patriots who believe in and work daily to restore sovereignty to the American Republic. And we very much want to help others who are chained in servitude by the deep state machinery. We very much want to help them depose their globalist overlords and restore their republics. Not that we want to get up their asses like the old America, which actually was run by the CIA, used to do and go around telling people how to live their lives and your country must do. No. I mean, I'm very much America first, but I want to break the globalist yoke. Because otherwise, there's no point. Otherwise, America will be a fortress, rather like Israel is now, a fortress with actually no real friends. So, there you have it, darlings. We are a mosaic of weird and wonderful outcasts, walking between worlds, dancing between dimensions, honoring the traditions of our ancestors. But, and it's a big but, hearing the call of a brave new world, which will require new ideas, new vocabulary, a shift in consciousness into a higher dimension of being, a realm of self-realization. And in such a state, from such a vantage point, if we were to look upon our actions here on planet Earth today and attempt to analyze the behavior, the only conclusion we could possibly come to is that someone or something poisoned the human mind so severely, insanity became the new normal. Oh dear. I haven't really been on a rant for a while. I have not pontificated for quite a while, and ooh, I do feel a pontification coming on. So let me have a sip of this excellent beverage. And let me say a few words about the violence against federal officers in Minnesota, USA. Deep breath, Ani. Process your emotions. Do not be triggered by idiots. Look, we know these protests are not grassroots. We know a significant percentage of you are paid for your services. And do you know what that makes you? It makes you wankers. You are all wankers. You couldn't find any other employment? So you chose to be paid actors, paid to violently disrupt law enforcement officers in the course of their duties? Do you know what that makes you? That makes you stupid and wankers. So now you're stupid wankers. Stupid wankers who will end up doing jail time and crying about it because you thought you were above the law because politicians paid you to riot. And to everyone else who's out there rioting and not getting paid, what in the name of all that is holy do you actually think you are doing? It has been proven beyond all doubt that blue cities are corrupt. It has been proved that they facilitate billions of dollars of fraud through various means and are currently favoring population replacement as one of the means to collect taxes from American citizens, funnel them as benefits to non-existent organizations, charitable or other. Some of them do exist, NGOs, whatever, and then they split the funds between sending them to foreign warlords and back into the pockets of American politicians, a great deal of which, by the way, was done through Venezuela. The population replacement is essential to their voter fraud agenda. And who else? puts money in the pockets of these corrupt politicians? I'll give you three guesses, everybody. Do 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 do. Yes, the cartels, who love to bank their ill-gotten gains in corrupt cities, which all happen to have a very blue hue. So, if you are one of the many epsilon semi-morons out there impeding ICE and other agencies from doing their work, which people like yours truly voted for, I would like you to know a little bit about what you are protesting. You are preventing the capture and arrest of cartel child traffickers. These people transport young children destined for an underground slave market that supplies babies, toddlers, and children for many purposes, including but not limited to adrenochrome production, a terrifying ordeal of Luciferian proportion. And most of the babies and toddlers that are used for adrenochrome production, once they've been tortured for their growth hormone, they are discarded once they have served their purpose. But if one should make it into adulthood, the mind will be severely compromised. And I know for a fact, because I'm one of a small handful of people that actually deal with some of the survivors. What else are they doing with these children? The sex trade. You are preventing. What is the matter with you people? It is truly mind-boggling how many people want to have sex with children. This is, of course, all part of the Luciferian inversion to blur the lines between good and evil. But understanding the agenda doesn't make it any more palatable, does it? Deep state rituals. It's a thing, people. The worship of Lucifer, who turned his back on God and went his own way. Babies, toddlers, and children are used in these rituals. And since they are young and fragile, and they are used horribly in these rituals, they are used up quickly, which means there is a constant need for new human flesh. There is sex involved in these rituals. I won't go into details because honestly, it's beyond vile and you won't believe me anyway, but there is a good deal of various types of sexual penetration and then the eating of the young flesh and the marking with blood. Thousands and thousands of children and adults too, are trafficked annually, and many are housed in seemingly normal suburban homes. When you impede ICE or immigration or border control or Homeland Security or the National Guard or any legitimate law enforcement agency, you are saying you value the lives of murderers, rapists, pedophiles, traffickers over the lives of American citizens. How dare you? Then, down the list a bit, but not really that far down, we have the drug traffickers. The previous sham globalist administration, as part of their agenda to destroy America, opened the border to all manner of depravity. Billions and billions and billions of dollars of drugs poured unchecked into America. Fentanyl for sure, but many other hard drugs. Hey, cocaine is still very fashionable, I understand, and people still shoot up heroin. Drug addiction was off the Richter scale. I know firsthand, as a spiritual counselor, how many conversations I have had with families broken and bleeding from addiction. And guess what? It has been a while since I had any new clients for fentanyl addiction. And hospitals are also reporting significant reduction in walk-ins for addiction and overdose cases. That's how you destroy a country. You destroy its people. An addicted mind is a misaligned mind, easily controlled, easily blackmailed, running a constant program of terror in the background. How will I function without my substance? How will I function without my substance? So this is what you morons are preventing ICE from taking care of. Why are you protesting the removal of dangerous elements in your community? How did you become so very stupid? Did it happen overnight due to vaccines and boosters and CNN? Or is it a skill set you've developed over time? Perhaps you're just lonely and need to feel loved, so you say and do stupid things with stupid people, with absolutely no desire to understand what it is you are saying or doing, because a sense of belonging is all you want. You do realize, I hope, that you could end up dead or in prison, where you certainly will have a greater sense of belonging, because you'll belong to Large Marge or Bobby the Brutal Beefcake. Good luck with that. Do you even realize the enormity of what we just discussed? You are defending the people who bring in other people to steal your votes and benefits with a view to eliminating American sovereignty. You are defending the people who hate you and want you dead. They want what you have, but they don't want you to have it. They want what you build, but they don't want to climb to build it themselves. They will use our freedoms to install a totalitarian regime with a view to one world order, a realm of masters and automaton servants. Connect the dots, please, and pay attention. We are at war with all the cartels of the world, all at once. And if we don't win that war, we are all fucked. And I don't know about you, but I'm far too old and far too pretty for that sort of thing. You know, Trump was correct when he said, paraphrasing, there is no extreme right wing yet. To the morons calling the people protecting America and its citizens Nazis, I have made up a new word for you because stupid just doesn't cut it anymore. You are now the Faffolati. The Faffolati. You will fuck around and you will find out. So grow up or prepare to fall between the cracks. Ani's pontification is over. What a relief. What do we have on today's show for you today? I have no idea. I have no idea. But we'll wing it because I have this lovely drink and it's really loaded with liquor. We'll wing it. We'll see what happens. But we will start, as we nearly always do, with quack questions, answers, and comments. If you would like to share the contents of your audacious minds with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, Ani at aniavadisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Ani, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall be forced to refer to you as Omit Personal Details. Let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky, ooh, shaky, shaky, shaky. Our first missive, here it is, in my hand, is from Edmonton, Canada, and it's from Giles. And Giles says, do you consider the current situation in the US worthy of invoking the Insurrection Act? As far as I understand the Insurrection Act, yes. And we've done it before quite a few times. 30, I think, I was told. What is the Insurrection Act? In my understanding, yes, you invoke it to deal with rebellions and uprisings. Then I suppose you're going to have to explain what is meant by rebellions and uprisings. How about groups openly defying federal law, armed groups, or state or local authorities being unable or refusing to enforce federal law, or organized violent resistance threatening the authority of the federal government, interfering with the processes of the courts, I think something to do with not collecting taxes, officials being attacked. You know, it's sort of happening right now, isn't it? It's exactly what's happening in Minnesota, isn't it? It really is. So we've used the Insurrection Act many times. I know that Thomas Jefferson used it for something to do with the Embargo Act back then. Andrew Jackson used it during the slave days, and there was some border disputes. Abraham Lincoln, that was his thing was Civil War, the secession, and all of that. Grant, I think, used it against the KKK. Rutherford Hayes, something to do with a railroad strike. Grover Cleveland, remember the anti-Chinese riots? Well, of course you don't, because they happened in 1885. Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow, you sold us down the Swanee, matey. That was the Colorado Coalfield War. Franklin D. Roosevelt, when we had the race riots in Detroit in 1934. Obviously, because we haven't got to 2034 yet. I'm not sure if Harry Truman did or not. I can't remember. Eisenhower. Little Rock. Little Rock was Eisenhower. John F. Kennedy. School integrations. Lyndon Johnson. That would have been civil rights and riots. And Bush, H.W. Yeah, not the shrub, the actual Bush. I think in Los Angeles there was rioting. And he said that you can't do that. That was in 1992. So, yes, if I look at all of that, we're more than ripe for the Insurrection Act. I mean, today I'm recording this. It's the, what is the today anyway? This drink is very strong. It's the 21st of January, 2026. And I think we have quite a few thousand troops from the 11th Airborne standing by. I mean, actual troops, not National Guard, not reservists. Not that there's anything wrong with those fine bodies of men and women. I think we can only wait so long for the people to comprehend the obvious. And at some point, hopefully very soon, we will get it all cleaned up. So if we understand what the Insurrection Act is and we look at the times that it was used, then my answer to that, and God, whose question was that? I have no memory today. Giles from Canada. My answer to that is yes, yes, yes. And I hope it's soon. All righty, what else came in today? Let's see. This is from Finn, who lives in Durham in the UK. Finn, I wonder if that's short for Finbar. I knew an Irishman. I knew many Irishmen, actually. I knew one Irishman a very long time ago. I think he was one of the supervisors on my dad's construction crews. His name was Finbar. I liked that name. Okay, never mind. Moving on, Arnie. Stick to the plot. Finn from Durham says, you are generally good at explaining things in plain English, not today, and in under two paragraphs. So here goes. Why do you want Greenland? Someone said there is a Stargate there. Is it true? Okay. Let me have a think on this. Okay. I've thought. Let's talk a little bit about Finland. I'm sorry, Greenland. Finbar, Greenland. Now, why does the US want Greenland? I don't want it. I don't want anywhere cold. I want the sandy beaches and lots of fruity cocktails island. That's where I'm going to end up. In plain English, you said, and in under two paragraphs, location has a lot to do with it. Take a look at Greenland on a globe as opposed to a flat piece of paper, and you'll see what I mean. Because it sits off the northeastern coast of Canada. More than two-thirds of its territory lies within the Arctic Circle, you see. It's crucial for defense for North America, has been since World War II, when the US occupied Greenland to make sure that the Nazis didn't get it. And of course, we didn't want them to get those very crucial North Atlantic shipping lanes. And we were sold a crock of shit about the ice melting. So we thought, well, if the ice melts, then we want those shipping lanes as well. The other thing about Greenland, it really is a rich source of these rare earth minerals, which are so popular and trending right now, because that's how we get our mobile phones, computers, batteries, high-tech gadgets that are expected to power the world in the coming decades, or at least the handheld devices of the little humans that crawl upon the face of the earth. I like the fact that when we get Greenland, we get to keep a close eye on Canada and its affiliations with the Islamic globalist state of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. If you look at it from a globe perspective, you'll see what I'm saying. But mainly it's location. We want Greenland. We don't want China to have Greenland. We don't actually really care if Russia has it because the eagle and the bear are going to get on very, very well. But the official line is we want to stop Russia and China getting a foothold there. And I could honestly say that Russia and America are the only two states that don't want a global state right now. China is still fighting all of its colored dragons in there. They'll have to figure that out. So it is essential not just for the sovereignty of America, which comes before anything else as an American, but it's also to make sure that we crush the globalist state. So it's mainly location. Now, you said Stargate. I don't think there's a Stargate there. However, if we look back in a lot of ancient lore, stuff you probably won't find on the internet, there have been rumors of a mini city, a place where off-worlders can live and work comfortably without being detected. Now, I don't have any actual real boots on the ground intel on that, other than in my early days when we were studying the purpose, the sacred purpose of America, Greenland and a base for off-worlders came up very often. So that's totally a possibility. I don't think it's an actual Stargate. I think it's a rest and recreation area or a workstation. So anyway, I've exceeded my two paragraphs. I'm so sorry. I hope to have more info on that, but I will honestly say both poles have secrets yet to be surrendered. And Greenland doesn't actually belong to anyone. At best, you could call it a lease from Denmark. And America will get what it wants because what are the Danish going to throw at us? I mean, open-faced sandwiches and aquavit? I mean, I think we're good, I think we're good. Thanks for the question. Let's take another email from a martini head and let me have a little sip of this drink, which is delicious, delicious, delicious. This is from Josh, the odd job man, retired. Josh, the odd job man, retired, who says, "Dear Mad Shaman, Don Lemon is a toxic byproduct of wokeism. He is disrupting church services, talking shit, and I cannot understand why he is allowed to get away with this behavior." Okay. I agree that Don Lemon is a POS and a wanker and stupid and therefore a stupid wanker. And is probably going to do some jail time. How can I best put this? When Trump said, when Big Daddy Titi said, "I am taking the power away from the corrupt government and giving it back to you and the people," paraphrased, I believe he was hoping more of us would step up and take that seriously. To openly challenge the insanity and knock it down without delegating our salvation to the authorities. And, that includes, in my opinion, physically dragging these bastards into the streets and shaming them, a sort of latter-day peasants' revolt, but with a better ending, one where the peasants keep kicking until common sense has been restored and the bad guys remain in permanent exile, preferably in one of the holding cells of heaven. I mean, to that, I will also say, hello, silent majority. Where are you? The white hats have made enormous strides in exposure. There is proof now. You can come out now. Come out of your bunkers. Stop eating spam. You can be vocal and you can be loud. And it's way past time you started shaking up the crowd. Don't you worry, Josh, the odd job man retired. Don Limon is probably going to have a good time in prison. But I think he'll be going there. Shall we take another question? Shall we? Shall we? Let's do it. Let's do it. This is from Evan from Derby, who says, Derby, UK. What has philosophy ever done for mankind? I think it's a load of shite. For those of you unfamiliar with the English colloquialisms and vernaculars and all of that, regional accents, the further north you go, the less shit there is and the more shite there is. So it basically means shit. Evan, darling, me chooky egg. Philosophy, in my opinion, provides a creative space, an arena of ideas, where those who consider themselves scientists and thusly, you know, whatever, can explore with those who consider themselves as theologists and artists. And out of that, we hope, will merge a new way of looking at a new world, with a new language, with new insights on cosmic conundrums, and we hope it will create a world populated by self-realized freethinkers. And you can call that shite if you like, but I don't think it is. And I hope someone recorded that, because that was really good. I think that was the best explanation I have given on what philosophy is or what it has given us ever. Fantastic. Moving on. You know what? That's it. I didn't. No more questions. That's the end of Quack for today. Thank you to all the Martini Heads for writing in and sharing hopes, dreams, and your delusions with us. Keep them coming, because that's the reason we started this show. To hear the voices of the disenfranchised, newly awakened, to drink lots of cocktails and act silly, and God bless you all. And now, my darlings. Excellent breath control there on the kazoo from Oni Avedisian. Now it's time for a tiny pact of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky-poo, and pouring the contents of my often magnificent yet occasionally maleficent mind into a glass of poetry punch, which is actually a cocktail I am developing. This one is called Caught in the Loop of Perpetual Perplexity, The Mind Becomes Lost in Its Own Complexity. Here we go. It's about a cocktail. You know, I mean, surprise, surprise. Okay. There's something about an old-fashioned that moderates my ultra-hot passions. It doesn't hit me quick or hard. It's subtle. It brings out my inner bard. The magic is in the mixture, sugar, rye whiskey, and a bitters tincture. The blend has to be just right, sweet enough, but with a little bite. I use candied citrus for the garnish. I'm low-key, not too much varnish. I express fresh citrus rind over the glass. My attention to detail is unsurpassed. The classic cocktails are so elegant. Elegance needs no embellishment. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the world we live in and its fate. Folks, if you experience winter wherever you live, the best cocktail is a whiskey-based cocktail to warm the cockles of your heart, and a perfectly made classic old-fashioned without any fancy frills or pretense of luxury. You can't do better than that. Here's another poem. Don't panic. It's short, like me. This one's called We Live in a World Where It Is Considered Subversive to Write on Paper Using Cursive. So here we go. Let's start a cult. One where people think for themselves and are not asked to choose between the orcs and the elves. Let's start a cult. Where are the emotionally stable adults, the ones who see past the carefully created media constructs? Let's infiltrate the realm of public educators and stop them from hiring deviants and masturbators. Let's flood the system with free-thinking co-creators to replace the automatons who serve this nation's traitors. Let's make the military service more enjoyable by hiring only those who are fit, sane, and deployable. And for the ones who find all this disagreeable, your lease is up, and guess what? It's not renewable. Let's start a cult of perception without gross distortions, a realm of purity and definite proportions. At the end of each age, there is always chaos and inversion. But God is so much more than the authorized King James Version. If I say so myself, I thought that was rather clever, and I did enjoy that one very much. If you enjoy my poems, you can sign up free of charge on Substack. I do about five or six a week. Go directly to substack.com or go to my website, aniavedisian.com, and there is a direct link to my Substack page on the left-hand bar. As I said, it's completely free. For those of you who do leave little tips in my jar, and for those of you who subscribe to the $80 a year, I mean, that is above and beyond the call of duty, and your reward most certainly will be in heaven and also on earth. But you don't have to give me money. You can just read my poetry and then write to me and tell me how wonderful it is, and it makes my day. And now it's time for a new segment called I Want to Speak English Properly. This is in direct retaliation to political correctness, which aims to limit free expression by limiting what we can and cannot say in public or on a public forum, the ultimate goal being this: if you are not allowed to speak, you will eventually stop talking, and then you will stop thinking, and when you stop thinking, you might as well be dead. So, for your education, edification, and general well-being, here are 10 rarely used words and their definitions, and some examples of how to use them. Ladies and gentlemen, colorful language makes the world a better place. We need more color. Stop painting your houses white and gray. Stop buying cars that are black or white or gray. Use all the colors of the rainbow and then make up new colors. Wear tie-dye underwear. Go mad. Splash Mother Earth in color. Word number one, mugwump. 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 A person who stays neutral, especially in politics. Example: the US Congress of Baboons needs more enlightened metaphysicians and fewer mugwumps. That's a lovely word, mugwump. The next word is dongle. 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 A small adapter or electronic accessory. Also passes in colloquial lingo as a penis. Examples: I want to charge my cell phone, but I cannot find my dongle. Or, if you are a gentleman, I would like to ask that lady out on a date and get intimate with her, but I fear my dongle is not up to the task. Dongle, a lovely word. The next word is yaffle. Yaffle. Waffle. Yaffle. Not a waffle. You eat that. A yaffle. And it means to eat or drink noisily. Here's an example. It was an uphill battle teaching the hungry hordes not to yaffle while eating their waffles. Yaffle. The next word, snollygoster. 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 It means a clever but unprincipled person. For example, Kevin could make something of himself if he understood accountability. Snollygoster. Next word, lickspittle. An overly flattering person. Lickspittle. Lickspittle. That's someone who sucks up. For example, believing it to be his only chance of promotion, George has become the boss's pet, a lily-livered lickspittle. Lickspittle. The next word, collywobbles. 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 And that means a nervous feeling in one's belly. Example: the thought of going to the headmaster's office gave little Johnny the collywobbles. That's a lovely word. I use that quite a lot. Quite often, I should say. The next word is spoodle. A spoodle. A hybrid of a spoon and a ladle. Spoodle. Spoodle. An example: Angus the chef was a minimalist. He stirred and ate his porridge with a spoodle. Something similar to that is a spork, isn't it? A spoon and a fork, a spork. The next word is the verb to behoove, behove. So you can use behoove as a verb that means to be necessary or appropriate for something else. It's the sort of word you use when you're trying to tell someone what they should be doing. For example, instead of playing beer pong, it would behoove the students to learn all they can before the final test next week. Behoove. The next word is eschew. It sounds like you're sneezing, eschew. If you're trying to stay away from something on purpose, you're eschewing that thing. And this is useful when you're talking about intentional choices. An example, I'm eschewing all social media during the election season. I'm purposefully staying away from all social media during the election season. And that's spelled E-S-C-H-E-W, eschew. Oh, eschew, I just sneezed. The next word is metanoia, metanoia, or if you're Greek, metanoia. So when you're talking about a fundamental shift in how someone sees something, you're talking about metanoia. Example, the conquering country required complete metanoia from those it ruled. They must believe in the ideals of the rulers, not just pay lip service. Metanoia. Metanaia. And our bonus word is paucity. Paucity, P-A-U-C-I-T-Y. When something is scarce, there's a paucity of it. It's a very, very nice little word. Here's an example. The number of people who text and drive shows there is a paucity of common sense in the modern world. Paucity. There you have it, my darling. Speaking proper English. All I'm really saying, I mean, I mess up with my grammar as well, and I use a lot of colloquialisms. But you see, I think that we're beginning to see the effects of some of this political correctness, even though it's going away. We have to go to bed every night with our dictionaries and learn two or three new words. And then in our dreams, we use those words. So here's my challenge to you. Learn a new word every day. And learn five or six different adjectives that, you know, mean the same thing or similar. Let's become eloquent again. Let's become articulate again. Let's do it. Well, my darlings, I think that's almost it for today. I've certainly used up all the words I have. I finished my drink and it wasn't difficult, but that always means the end of the show and the start of a little nap for me, if I'm honest. Today's real-life cocktail was, wait for it, a Davos banana daiquiri in honor of our wonderful president, Il Presidente El Donaldo Trumpo, un hombre con muchos testículos, because he's there in Davos without alcohol, because he's teetotal, and he's talking to a bunch of bananas. So here's how you make a Davos banana daiquiri. You get yourself two ripe bananas, 4 ounces of aged rum, 2 ounces of Cointreau or triple sec, and 2 ounces of fresh lime juice, 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce of simple syrup, and have about a couple of cups of ice on hand, because this is a blender drink. And this is what you do. If at all possible, if you have planned this in advance, slice your bananas, really ripe bananas, slice them into rounds, freeze them for a couple of hours. Otherwise, don't worry, just put your bananas in there with a little bit of extra ice when you're blending. So basically get all of these ingredients and stick it all in the blender and blend it. And I recommend that you start with maybe 1/2 ounce of simple syrup and then just keep tasting as you go along. If you don't like your drinks too tart, start with 1.5 ounces of the fresh lime juice instead of the full 2 ounces. But basically, you just blend it all and then put it in a chilled, you know, daiquiri glass. And you can garnish it with a cocktail cherry or a candied lime wheel, whatever is fruity, whatever you desire. Now, I've got a couple of tips on this. I prefer Cointreau over triple sec every time. There are some high grade triple secs out there, but add another tenner and you've got Cointreau because it's better flavor and it's a more sophisticated palate, really. Now, there are many different types of rum that fall under the category of aged rum. The aged rum, the golden or the añejo rum, that has a little hint of vanilla, a little bit of coconut, almond, citrus, and it's a little bit caramelly. It's very nice and it's very suitable for this drink. If you use an aged dark rum, it's deeper, more caramel flavors, more notes of cinnamon, more spices. And if you use a white rum, it's very basic, very straightforward, and it has a sort of a fruity finish. It's completely up to you what your tastes are. I use añejo, golden rum, for this one. I just think it blends really well. The one rum I would say do not use a flavored rum, especially do not use coconut rum. It is not the right profile for this drink. Definitely freezing the bananas works better. But if you need a drink, right there and then, you don't have any frozen bananas, don't panic. Just, use more ice. And please do begin with just a small amount of the simple syrup and adjust it to taste because sickly sweet drinks make for bad hangovers. And more than that, you want a nice balanced flavor. You never want sugar to be the overwhelming flavor. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. It's a delicious drink. I want to shout out to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for kindly arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mystical Wares is your one-stop shop for all things metaphysical. And if you can't make the trip to Mount Vernon, Washington, visit them online at mysticalwares.com. Online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Huzzah for Mystical Wares! Huzzah for Mystical Wares! I'm Ani, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was a Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are so grateful we don't even have the words. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Until we meet again, my darlings, remember that your emotions are data, not commands. We do not act on impulse. We process our emotions like fully grown adults. We do not shout. We do not pout or hurl insults. And we do that best when we let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.